Be seated. Let me call the case.
321-0606,
110 North and LLC, affidavit by Evan Harness
versus Woodbridge Park, Illinois, by Donald Renner.
Mr. Renner, you may
proceed. Good afternoon, Justices. My name is Don Renner. I'm with the law firm of Kleinthope and Jenkins, and today here with me is Mike Adams, the Executive Director of the Woodbridge Park District. May it please the Court. At its core, this appeal involves an excess accumulation tax rate objection case against the Woodbridge Park District's 2017 levy for its general fund, made pursuant to 70 ILCS 1205/5-1. In accordance with the Supreme Court's decision in Miller and this Court's recognition of a 2 to 3 times threshold for establishing a prima facie case in the Belk and Twentley cases, there was no excess accumulation within the WPD's general fund at the time of its 2017 levy, as the Miller ratio was just over 1. As such, the WPD should have been granted summary judgment at the trial court level. Nonetheless, the trial court granted summary judgment to taxpayers, finding an excess accumulation within the subfund of the WPD's general fund without any statutory authority or common law precedents for the same. The crux of the matter is that the tax rate objections are filed against levies and not funds, in accordance with 35 ILCS 200/23-15. Here, the appellee's own tax rate objection complaint states that they are filing a tax rate objection against the WPD's levy made in accordance with Section 5-1 of the Park District Code. Appellees have done their best to claim the distinction between the general fund and the corporate subfund, tying themselves up in knots during the process. But in the end, the WPD's 2017 levy of roughly $3.9 million in tax year 2017 was made in accordance with Sections 5-1 and 5-3 of the Park District Code. This levy was not for a subfund. It wasn't for the corporate subfund. It was a levy made in accordance with 5-1 and 5-3 for the WPD's general fund. Whether the Park District refers to this fund for which it holds the extension as its general fund or a corporate fund has no bearing on plaintiff's tax rate objections in this case. The only reason we are here today is because the Woodbridge Park District voluntarily creates subfunds within its general fund for its own internal bookkeeping purposes.
And they have no obligation to do that.
No obligation. There's no statutory obligation to do that.
And no obligation to call a subfund a corporate fund.
No, that's correct.
What do you say about this argument that you're essentially converting the cause of action, if you will, of the plaintiffs?
Rewriting the complaint, Your Honor?
Correct.
No, if you just look at the tax rate objection complaint, I'm just quoting from the tax rate objection complaint. The tax rate objection complaint is objecting to the $3.9 million levy. And if you look at the 2017 levy ordinance that was passed by my client, you'll see the $3.91 million, which is a combination of their general, I'm sorry, the corporate fund, capital replacement, and capital development supplements. But have the working or the WPD never adopted this internal accounting of subfund within the first place, we wouldn't be here today because we would just have one single general fund with a Miller ratio of just over 1. The WPD's levy authority stems from the Park District Code. Sections 5-1 and 5-3 provide for the WPD's authority to levy for general or corporate purposes. The WPD refers to this fund as its general fund. The IDOR and the county clerks refer to this very same fund as the corporate fund. Each year, the WPD levies for its general fund in accordance with Section 5-1 and 5-3 of the Park District Code, and correspondingly, the county clerks of DuPage County and Will County extend for the corporate fund, as they call it. Within the general fund, Section 1205-5-1 of the Park District Code provides that the WPD may levy for all corporate purposes as well as levying for building repairs and improvements. Although not mandated by statute, as we covered, Your Honor, the WPD has created subfunds within its general fund to allocate between its corporate, capital replacement, and capital development subfunds.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On that issue.
Yes.
aren't capital replacement and capital development both corporate purposes?
Not if you read the section of the Park District Code which says that my client can actually levy for those purposes beyond its corporate purpose levy. It's all, I would say, a general levy, but the levy for corporate purposes is separate and distinct from the corporate for, or the levy for capital replacement and capital development.
And the reason I say that is I noticed that no one quoted a definition of what does it mean to be a corporate purpose. So frankly, I pulled it out of Black's Law Dictionary, and it's the most broad. It's like you can, once you levy those funds, they're to be spent on, it's pretty much any purpose for running a nice park. I mean, their language is so broad that I was under the conclusion you can call these accounts whatever you want, but as long as they're appropriate, it's all corporate purposes, all three, but I could be wrong.
I would agree, Your Honor. I'm just referencing that there's separate authority in that section of the Park District Code that specifically refers to those purposes.
So if we do additional levies, that would be part
it's
of the
all
fund.
One single levy under that code section 5-1, so it's not a separate levy. It's just separate purposes within that own distinct levy. From there, the WPD deposits receipts from the county clerks to its general fund, and then it allocates those funds amongst those three sub-funds. And again, that's for its own internal bookkeeping purposes.
Could you have just called them accounts instead of funds? You call them
it doesn't really matter. They're a legal fiction, if you will. And that's why...
That's my point. If they had decided the board initially would set this up just on paper, whatever, in your articles of incorporation, just call them accounts. They didn't have to use the word funds, did they?
No, they did not. And I'm frankly referring to it as a sub-fund just to help define it in court practice, but it's not as though the WPD refers to it as corporate sub-fund. They just refer to them in the levy process, and then they have separate accounts within their processes and procedures. Under the Miller case and its progeny, an excess accumulation tax rate objection is one in which a taxpayer alleges that the subject taxing district has more than enough funds on hand to serve its current purposes, making the corresponding levy unnecessary. The Supreme Court in the Miller decision outlined a basic test to determine whether an excess accumulation has occurred. A reviewing court will analyze the audited statements of the taxing district to review the total funds on hand at the time of the subject levy, taking the latest audited financial balance sheet for that fund and adding to it the amount of any prior levies that have not yet been received by that corresponding fund. This equals the total funds on hand at the time of levy. Then the reviewing court will compare the funds on hand to the trailing 3-year average annual expenditures of that specific fund. The reviewing court will compare those funds, and as expressed in this court's opinions in the Belk and Toynton cases, if the funds on hand are more than 2 to 3 times the 3-year trailing average annual expenditures, then the taxpayer has met its burden to establish a prima facie case. If a prima facie case is made by the taxpayer, then the burden shifts to the taxing district to establish why an accumulation fund was actually necessary. In this case, the appellees are seeking to hold as unlawful the 2017 WPD's levy of roughly $3.9 million for its general fund, while only comparing the corporate sub-fund balances and expenditures. The primary issue with taxpayers' entire theory of this case is that, again, tax rate objections are not filed against funds, and certainly not sub-funds, but rather the underlying levies. 35 ILCS 200/2315B specifically provides that tax rate objections are filed against taxes, assessments, or levies. Here, the taxpayers are filing their objection against the levy for the general fund. Taxpayers did not address this statutory argument in their appellee's brief. I think that's a glaring omission. There is no precedent in Illinois common law that would permit a tax rate objection to be filed against a subfund. This is because there are no levies directly attributed to a subfund. The levies fund the overall fund for which they are extended. Here, the WPD General Fund is the fund to which the levy is made under Sections 5-1 and 5-3 of the Park District Code, not the corporate subfund. Since there is no separate or distinct levy for the WPD's corporate subfund, there is no statutory basis for a tax rate objection to declare the WPD's levy for its general fund as being unlawful, especially when there is no excess accumulation within the general fund overall. Alpha Gamma Rho and in-ring applications of Connor were cited by the taxpayers in their Appleby's brief. They do not stand for the principle that the Appleby's suggest, that a tax rate objection may be filed against a subfund of an overall fund. These cases stand for the premise that a tax rate objection cannot be filed against multiple levies involving multiple funds in a single tax rate objection. Judge Belford and the sister filing in the DuPage County Circuit Court said, looking specifically at the Alpha Gamma Rho and O'Connor cases, talking about running the Miller analysis on a fund-by-fund basis, the court's understanding of what those cases mean by fund is they're talking about a fund for which there is a specific corresponding levy. Here, what we're dealing with is one such fund for which there are essentially, for purposes of internal bookkeeping, subfunds, but that there is only one fund for which a levy was issued in this case. That's Judge Belford's words. The DuPage County Circuit Court got it right. Another matter that the Will County Circuit Court ruled incorrectly in this case is that the Circuit Court granted summary judgment to the taxpayers after the trial court found that the appellees had made a prima facie case under Miller. The only issue before the court during the summary judgment phase was whether the Miller ratio was just over 1, as the WPD was arguing, or whether it exceeded 3, as the appellees were arguing. The WPD filed its motion for summary judgment first. It wasn't a cross motion, as the appellees have referenced in their brief. The taxpayers should have filed a response to the motion for summary judgment, rather than a cross motion for summary judgment. If the Circuit Court denied the WPD's motions for summary judgment, then the burden would have shifted from the taxpayer to the WPD to submit evidence in support of a need to accumulate in its general fund. The WPD was never given this opportunity at trial court level. We only need to look to this court's rulings in In Re Application of O'Connor and Toyden for the principle that a showing of funds on hand being 2 to 3 times the average annual expenditures only rebuts the presumption that a tax in the district's levy was lawful. In both of those cases, this court remanded the case to the trial court to allow for the taxing district to present evidence of a need for an accumulation of funds after ruling that the taxpayer had indeed made a prima facie case for excess accumulation. In Toyton, this court specifically said, we also determined that ComEd was not entitled to summary judgment. ComEd's evidence that the funds contained excess accumulation does not automatically prove that the challenged tax levies were illegal as a matter of law. The record reveals that no evidence was presented below regarding the taxing body's need for accumulations in the challenge funds. The township and the district did not present this evidence in the circuit court because they contended and the court agreed that ComEd had not met its burden. This is exactly the case here. The WPD at all times at the circuit court level contended that the taxpayers had not met their burden of establishing a prima facie case because the Miller ratio for the general fund was only one, just over one. In the end, we believe this is a simple matter. The statutes and case law do not permit tax rate objections to be filed against the WPD's voluntarily created corporate subfund. Tax rate objections are filed against levies. Since there is clearly no excess accumulation associated with the WPD's 2017 levy for its general fund under Sections 5-1 and 5-3 of the Park District Code, then the levy at issue is lawful, and this court should reverse the decision of the trial court and grant the WPD summary judgment under both Miller and this court's own precedent. If the justices have any other questions, we have an answer.
Justice, one more question, and this will probably go both. But obviously, I understand your argument about that maybe you shouldn't get in the position of competing summary judgments. But when you are in that situation, it means that both sides agree there are no contested issues of fact. Obviously, when you guys say this is simple, one thing that comes to mind is the fact that tax objectors have their calculation.
Mm-hmm.
You have your calculation. It's just numbers that are plugged in, but I assume neither side contests with those numbers. The numbers are all valid. No one's saying that anybody's using the wrong number, just the wrong, they're plugging in the wrong number in the Miller ratio.
The only exception to that, Your Honor,
700,000.
Well, no, that is the Appellee's argument. The only exception I have is if you look at their figures, the Miller calculation involves taking the funds up.
I can finish.
The Miller calculation involves taking the funds on hand and adding property taxes that have been levied but not yet received. So when the Appellees added the amount of property taxes that have not yet been received, they added the full amount from the general fund, not just that was allocated to the corporate sub-fund.
You're saying the whole levy?
The whole levy.
Yeah, right. No, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is no one can test the numbers. In other words, their number of 3.9 million is the same one you're using. That's what I'm saying.
I would just contest that their funds on hand is still incorrect because they added the entire property taxes levy. Otherwise, we are in agreement. There's nothing else at issue.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Justice Albert.
Mr. Carnes.
Captain Bell, Justice Brown, Justice Albert, Justice Peterson. I'm Evan Carnes, Evan B. Carnes II from Carnes Law Chartered. I'm here with my partner, Everardo Martinez, on behalf of the taxpayer. To respond briefly to Justice Peterson's question a moment ago, there were, in fact, other contested issues at the trial court. And at the trial court, regardless of Mr. Venner's opinion that they weren't properly filed as cross motions for summary judgment, they were, and they were taken that way. And in fact, they were briefed that way. And in our motion for summary judgment and in our supporting responses, we presented my affidavit along with the publicly available audited records of the Park District, as well as the publicly available records of the Park District's roughly monthly, not necessarily, but roughly monthly meetings, and their forecasts of their business and whatnot. Your Honors will all remember that in Miller, there's much more than just an equation that the Supreme Court created. It also created a safe harbor, if you will, and that safe harbor was, even if this equation exists, there might still be an opportunity for the district to defeat an excess accumulation objection. That opportunity is if there's an unknown but possibly anticipated or known but possibly unanticipated need for the funds to be applied to some other purpose. Nothing within any publicly reported document of the Woodbridge Park District, nothing within their own executive director, Mr. Adams' affidavit, identifies any other need. Identifies any other known but unanticipated or anticipated but unknown possible purpose for these monies. It's important because in my affidavit and in our review of all the documents that we filed, and by the way, the documents were filed by both sides, pretty much the same documents, the financial reports, the audits, etc. They're both in the record from each side, and we refer to them together. So we raised the whole issue of was there an alternative defense that the district might have beyond just pure calculation. They never responded to that. And under the case law in Illinois, their failure to respond to that admits anything that's properly raised and documented. It was put up or shut up time, and they didn't put up.
Let's go to the legal question. So
I thought that was one of them.
Well, let me go to the legal question. I'm more interested.
Let's go your way.
They're all important. There's only one levy here. There's not three sub-levies or however you want to characterize it. How do we focus on the sub-account, if you will, and not the entire levy? I mean, how do we cherry-pick and just look at that one sub-account? I know they called it a corporate account, but the reality is that this levy, as it has been argued, is a levy that subsequently the monies are divided into these three accounts, but there's only one levy. So how do you get to focus solely on the money in the one sub-account?
I think it's a multifaceted answer, if you don't mind.
Sure.
If I go the wrong way and you want some more information about something else, let me know. The multifaceted answer is the Park District, like any other taxing district, has only those powers to tax that are granted by the legislature.
The legislature doesn't grant a power to tax a general tax. It grants power to tax for corporate purposes, grants a power to tax for capital development or for capital refurbishment or repair purposes, and then there's nine others. They're listed in the brief. I don't have to bore you with them. The point of the matter is, Woodridge Park District, this is a matter outside the record, but it's the only district in my experience doing these prosecution of these tax cases for over 12 years that uses this general purpose account. My comment to you is the general account basically compiles all the three levy rights, their capital development, their capital replenishment, their repair, and their corporate. So they're combining them all. In our analysis, we did exactly what they do, exactly what their executive director, Mr. Adams' affidavit says he did. He gets the levy and he puts them back into the three accounts, the three that the legislature permitted them to levy for. So the fact that they decide to levy as a quote-unquote general, and Mr. Renner makes a big issue out of this, and I believe it's purely red herring, the Illinois Department of Revenue and the county clerk levies it as a corporate levy because that's the authority the legislature granted, corporate levy. And to the extent that somebody doesn't designate it for the individual other purposes, because as I said, there's 10 other purposes that they have the right to levy for, they're going to get it extended by the clerk under the IDOR handbook guidelines as corporate. But, just as I said a moment ago, they treat it as though it's the levy for each of those purposes, just as every other park district does, except they send them out as individual levies. So the reason I think it's appropriate to treat these this way is it's exactly what Connor, and Alpha Gamma Rho, sometimes confuse the Greek alphabet, says should be done. Treat it individually. And treating it individually, both of you, Justice Peterson, Justice Brown, I believe you asked the question, treating it individually, we don't have any substantial or material issue on numbers. As a matter of fact, in one of my briefs, I admit that whatever number they said it was, that was what was being sought in the judgment, we agree with that calculation. If we had a typo or we transposed the number or my dyslexia kicked in, not an issue. We can resolve that. The issue we want to get back to is what was going on here. And from our standpoint, as I said, we raised the issue of was there another defense that might have been available to the district, and if so, what was it? And our initial affidavit specifically said nothing's been presented to us. Now, they're not entitled to, or they're not required, excuse me, to file an answer to a tax complaint by statute. I pointed that out. But they are required, in the face of motion for summary judgment, to bring forward some substantive basis for why they should not be granted summary judgment against them, why we should be granted summary judgment against them. And they did not do that. I think that's fatal to that part of the argument. With respect to Toynton, that's exactly what Toynton said. Toynton said ComEd did not bring forward anything. We have. That's why that portion of Toynton doesn't apply. With respect to the remainder of the case, calculated our way, as Justice Peterson pointed out, if we're comparing corporate to the corporate portion of the levy that was attributed by, and historically, year over year over year, the district has done the same thing. They cut it into three slices of pie and put one in corporate, one in capital redevelopment, and one in capital building. With respect to that, we think we've done it the right way, and we did it the way they did it. They accounted for it that way. There was a question that's a little bit off point here, and I hope I'll take my apology for saying it's off point, but this whole issue of fund versus an account, it's because fund accounting is a concept that's used by the CPAs and by the auditors to track governmental money. Because realistically what happens, most governments have a large fund, all the money's in an account, and what they're doing is segregating how many million is in fund A versus how many million is in fund B.
They're called funds because that's just the municipal jargon.
Exactly. That's all it is. Got it. All it is.
So I think you did answer this, but I just want to ask it again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What if no fund subfunds were created? What if could a park district just operate out of a, for lack of a better way of putting it, general fund, corporate fund that's just one basket of monies?
I perceive that to be an accounting auditing question, and I can't answer that. Theoretically, they could.
If they could, you'd have no argument.
If they could,
if that's what WPD had done here, would we be sitting here with a case right now under Miller and the ratio?
Based on the dollars at issue under Miller, no. We wouldn't be. We would not be here. That's it. That is the question that you want
to
answer.
That is my question.
Based on the dollars and a simple equation analysis of Miller, we would not have a almost two or just over two to three or whatever ratio.
And just so I'm clear, in this particular case, there was one levy.
There was one levy, but if you actually look at the record that's presented here, you will see that the budget that was certified includes a levy for the three funds we're arguing about today, and then separate levies for a few extra funds, like, for instance, handicapped or after.
I apologize for interrupting.
No worries.
Can a taxpayer challenge those certifications, or can they only challenge the levy?
The latter is true, Judge. The legislature only set up a right for a tax objector to file an objection to a levy based on the existing fund and the monies available in that existing fund.
Does that not inform our analysis?
It does, and I think you should roll mine away because it should inform you that way. I don't know if I've answered all the questions because you
have.
Now
you have, absolutely.
Justice Albright.
So it seems kind of circular to me. You're challenging the levy, but there was one levy. And you're saying that it's an excess accumulation because they put them in different, because of the way they put them in funds?
I'm saying that unlike the commonly performed practice in the state of Illinois for governmental districts of this nature, they issued several separate taxing levies as one. They had, in our brief, we provide you the tax authority levy that the legislature allows them. They combined three of those into one and called it their general. They make a big issue out of the fact that IDOR and the county clerk's office pulls it back out and does not say it's general. The county clerk and the IDOR say it's the corporate levy because that's where their authority lies in the legislature, a corporate levy. Or a corporate levy, a capital replacement, a capital development levy. They combine them. And so we deconstructed the application so that we can actually see what money was levied for corporate, what money went into capital development, what money went into capital replacement. And you can see it, and it's identified that way in Mr. Adams' own affidavit, which is a record. He said, as soon as we got it, we put it back into the three, where it belonged. Now, I think that's exactly what the court in O'Connor and in Toynton said, and in Miller. You look at an individual fund basis. And the fact that they might have operated under an unusual arrangement shouldn't change the fact that those monies were levied for those specific purposes as only they could be by the legislative branch.
But in those cases you just cited, this is not a rhetorical question, weren't they all individual levy cases? In other words...
You're right, Doug. It's not a rhetorical question, but you're right. They were all individual levy cases. And that's part of my point here. They've avoided or evaded or whatever you want to call it by accumulating it into one levy. And when we do exactly what they do when they receive their money and deconstruct it, clearly there is an excess. But more importantly, they've argued they need to kick this back on their point and then let them have another bite at the apple. If you look at the record before you, they've waived that. They didn't challenge any of the materials that we submitted. They didn't confront my affidavit. They didn't say any of the materials that we submitted, which were publicly acceptable, publicly filed, publicly required to be filed documents. And they don't say we had these other purposes that this would have been legitimate for. Unless there's no other questions. Thank you for your time and your attention, Justices. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Mr. Renner, do you wish to rebuttal?
Just a few points, Your Honor, because I think some of the answers that were given by my colleague, I think, do probably make my point and the reason why the motion for summary judgment that was denied at trial court level should be granted here on appeal. appellees are suggesting that Miller creates a safe harbor and that taxing districts can, after the prima facie case is determined, they can present evidence to the fact that there was reasons for having to do the excess accumulation. And appellee's counsel is saying that we didn't do that at the trial court level. If you look at all of the briefs, every single brief says we are not required to provide that information unless and until the taxpayer has met its burden of establishing a prima facie case. We always contended that the Miller ratio was just a little over one, and it's clear as day, if we're right, then the prima facie case was not established. So we weren't required to present all of the documentary evidence. I would submit to you that we could, and we would upon remand, but we're not required yet to do that. How do they get to cherry pick, as Your Honor provided, Justice Brennan? Those are the words I used in the trial court, because that's what they're doing. They're cherry picking from the corporate sub fund to establish a excess accumulation case when there isn't one. Could we operate out of the general fund and just a general fund? Could the WPD just have levied the general fund? Of course, yes. And that was the point that I had said earlier, that we wouldn't be here today if we had done that.
Let me ask a quick question.
Sure.
Could you do individual levies for those three subfunds?
No, they are not individual levies. They are a levy under 5-1 of the PIP district code. They are
not.
We cannot do separate levies. No, we cannot. Unless there are any other questions, I think those are the points that I want to cover in rebuttal. Thank you for
your time, Your Honors. The court would like to thank both sides for their arguments. The matter will be taken under advisement, and an opinion will issue in due course. Thank you very much. The court is adjourned.